Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you like this video. Leave us a five-star review if you're listening on a place like Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Share with your friends. Leave a nice comment if you'd be so kind. We'd love to hear from you. Well, thank you for joining us. It is now the month of June, and you all know what happens in the month of June. Pride Month. And so I want to talk a little bit today about how we as Christians can navigate Pride Month. And I think that this probably applies to every month also. But during Pride Month, I always get Christians ask me about how they should respond in different situations. And I always appreciate people asking these questions and wanting to learn and grow. You know, one of the things I've said a lot during Pride Month is that we can respond by checking our own pride, right? I see a lot of people posting Bible verses about how, you know, pride is evil and pride comes before the fall. And it's like, okay, that's true. So let's all check our own pride and see what pride we have in our lives that we can repent of. I also get a lot of people, especially like pastors, ministry leaders, throwing ideas my way. Many times those ideas have been to kind of counteract the pride events in their town, to have a worship night at their church at the exact same time that, you know, the pride march is going on. And, you know, personally, I have always discouraged people and churches away from something like that. I don't think that we need this direct response of this like tit for tat, blow for blow response to what Pride Month is doing. I've never really seen that be productive or fruitful. And you know, when the church wants to have a worship night, that's great. But we should worship God 24/7, 365, because He is a God worthy of our worship. And whenever a church has a so-called like worship night, just as a counterpoint to what the pagans are doing, I always cringe a little bit and I ask, like, I wonder what it is that they're worshiping. Are they worshiping the God of the Bible? And if they're worshiping the God of the Bible, I don't think that leads us to just have a worship night as some type of blow to the pagan pride march that's going on in town or across the street. And I could be wrong. I don't want to assume everyone's motives or what it is they're worshiping, but I've never seen those responses or those, tit for tat. I don't know what else to say. I think that, this month, let's have fewer tits and fewer tats would be a good goal. So let's not do that. You might want to edit that out. I don't know. Make a judgment call there, Caleb.
I'm keeping it.
And so I've never seen those types of responses really be fruitful. But I want to talk about some things that we can do. I do think that there is a place for good public discourse about these issues. And so I really want to focus on what good, healthy, influential discourse entails in our culture. I think that there are three ways we can respond to the depravity in our culture, which includes things like Pride Month. We can be angry and self-righteous. We can just tell them off. I see many people express that in their comments on social media and their attitudes. And I don't think that that is going to help. I don't think that's going to influence our culture in any way. We can bury our heads in the sand and just disengage. And I don't think that that's what God has called us to do. And so I don't think that that really bears in any fruit. Or third, we can attempt to influence our culture with a gospel influence and with truth. And I think that that is what we are called to, even though that might look differently for different people. And so let's talk about that. I find that for most LGBTQ people, what sways them the most are relationships, having relationships with them in which we can love them, share the gospel, understand the idols that their hearts are serving, and provide gospel hope. And I want churches to be equipped to do that. I want the body of Christ to be equipped to do that. And that's why I do what I do. But I also find that for the masses, including their allies, public discourse has a tremendous sway on them. It's not the small minority of our culture that is LGBTQ that is shaping our culture. It's their allies. It's people who believe in that ideology, even though they're not personally living it. It's the approximately 60% of people in our culture who supported same-sex marriage. And that is obviously way beyond just people who are same-sex attracted or living as gay. So we need to not only provide gospel hope, but we need to reason publicly. We need to reason with people. We need to sway them. And we saw the Apostle Paul do that. We saw him doing it throughout, you know, Acts, and especially in Acts 17. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." So God gave us a mind to reason and to sway people and to have, you know, debates with them in healthy ways to persuade them of the truth. And so we need to do that. We need to reason with people, and we need to do it in person and in the public square. And whether we like it or not, much of the public square these days is social media. That's where the public happens. That's where conversations happen. And we can also reason at places like school board meetings and legislative hearings. There are way too many times when I hear Christians really just decrying the decisions that an elected body is making, yet no one showed up at the meeting to speak and reason with them and share their opinion and hopefully do it with grace and with logic and with truth. I think one hesitation we have is that we've seen public engagement done very poorly. At least I see that every day on social media. After Charlie Kirk's death last fall, I saw a lot of people proclaiming that Christians need to speak up more about issues of morality, and that pastors need to teach about moral issues, even when they cross with political issues, from the pulpit. And I wholeheartedly agree. I think that moral issues of our culture are biblical issues, and so the church should be the first place where people should be talking about them. But I want to caution us that it's not enough just to talk about them. When we talk about these issues, what matters the most is what we are saying about them. I see people and pastors with a newfound boldness to talk of these issues, but many of the proclamations coming out of their mouths are not helpful at best, and at worst, they are untrue. We are responsible to be truth tellers, not to make a point or spout things out. Christians are way too prone to conspiracy theories that have no basis in reality. So what we say and how we say it matters. One of the verses that I've brought out and talked about in ministry over and over again is Ephesians 4:29, which states, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits for the occasion, and may give grace to those who hear." Everything we say needs to be filtered through that lens. Many people don't engage out of fear. They probably need to take that to the Lord and let God work that out in their heart. Some engage in healthy ways out of pride, and that needs to be submitted to the Lord too. I see some Christians' social media accounts where all they post is disdain for our culture. Many of the things they say are true, but they sound like just a clanging gong. And I usually see those people have very little, if any, positive impact on people or on culture. Something I learned years ago is that every interaction, whether in person or online, has a potential for good, but it also comes at a cost. When I work to equip the church and influence our culture, it costs me relationships, and that is hard. I have lost friends because of my ministry, and I mourn that. I see way too many people take that as a badge of honor when they push people away and they are rejected. And I think that is the wrong attitude. I think it's full of pride. I want to have an individual influence on as many people as I can. I don't want to push people away out of my life. So in my ministry or social media posts, pushes someone away, I mourn that loss. I always have to count the cost. So with everything that I'm going to post or say or talk about, I have to ask, is this going to cause more harm than good? What is the cost I'm willing to pay for this? And is it worth it? There are many people who disagree with my social media content. Some think that I'm too full of grace and not direct enough. Some people think that I'm too harsh. You can't please everyone, so I don't try. I'm only trying to please an audience of one. but I do try to please the Lord, and I know that He will hold me to account. This winter, I did a bunch of teaching on some of the shenanigans happening in the world of libraries. There is so much to decry there, especially how they're giving kids pornography and pushing LGBT ideology. Some people thought I was too harsh. I lost friends over it. Not only Facebook friends, but real friends. I lost a ministry supporter because of it. But I believe it was worth it because shining a light in a dark place has helped me bring some change and equipped parents to protect their kids. So I'll gladly give up Susan's $40 a month to effect cultural change and protect kids and families. But that is only true if what I am sharing and talking about is good and true and having a positive impact. Last winter, I was engaging in some topics that I don't want to engage on. And I post about a few things going on in culture. I kind of was sharing my frustration with our healthcare system and healthcare costs. And I talked about some of the refugee fraud. And those are, I think, good things to talk about, but made a lot of people angry. And I lost some friends over it. And I really had to evaluate, is that worth it? Because God has called me to a specific ministry to talk about sexuality issues and equip the church. So if some of these other topics really take away some of my influence in people's lives over what God has called me to, then it's not worth it, right? And so I had to decide that, okay, maybe engaging in some of those other topics is not worth it if I'm going to lose my influence in the area, in the ministry that God has called me to do. I think many people are hesitant to engage, publicly in these issues because we see many people doing it poorly. And maybe that is you. Maybe you need to evaluate how you engage. And I'm not going to say there's a one-size-fits-all, and I'm not going to be the social media gatekeeper on how all of us engage, but I think we should take it seriously. During Pride Month, I see a lot of people posting memes about how they are reclaiming the rainbow for the Noahic Covenant. Personally, I don't see that being effective. I don't see gospel hope being shared. I don't see hearts being swayed because of that. Personally, I don't see that being effective. I don't see the gospel hope being shared in those posts. I think it pushes people way out of your life and unnecessarily. Is it bearing fruit? I certainly don't see it. I hear a lot of testimonies of people walking away from the LGBTQ sin in their life. But I've never heard one of those testimonies, which included someone sharing, hey, someone shared a meme on Facebook about reclaiming the rainbow, and I saw it, and I fell to my knees in repentance. I've just never seen that being a part of someone's story of redemption. And so then we have to evaluate, is that type of engagement effective? And you have to ask yourself, is it worth the cost? Because it is harming your relationships, and it is pushing people away. It is making you someone who struggles with those issues says, oh, I guess I can't go to that person. So is it worth the cost? It might be worth the cost if it is having a good influence on our culture and people's lives, but we have to evaluate that. Personally, even though I have failed at this, I try to post content that I know people will at least believe I'm taking these issues seriously and trying to have a serious conversation, not just taking cheap shots. And, we can all argue about whether certain content is appropriate or not. I think we need some wisdom from heaven. We need to go to the Lord with that. We need to pray about it. Some will disagree with what I post, and that's okay. But I want them to see that I take it seriously. I want to maximize my effectiveness, and I want to cause as little damage to relationships as possible. There are a couple of people and organizations that are currently doing a great job of engaging in persuasive ways. One is Katie Faust. She came on my podcast a few weeks ago. She's on a crusade to overturn same-sex marriage. She uses facts, logic, reason, and truth to persuade people, and it's working. Just this week, a new Gallup poll came out showing that support for same-sex marriage in the U.S. has decreased, reversing a decades-long trend that only took it upward. And I think that Katie has been a part of that, maybe a small part, I don't know, but she's definitely playing a part in that. And so we see people's hearts and minds being swayed on these issues. I see my friend Rosaria Butterfield. She speaks very strong words, but she is smart, articulate, and full of grace. And she's had a remarkable influence on helping the church embrace biblical sexuality. And she doesn't even do it on social media. She's not on social media, even though I see her on social media a lot, usually by people who disagree with her. Another movement I see and wholly support is the abolitionist movement, which is trying to end abortion by bringing justice to unborn children by holding accountable people who would murder a child, including their mother. This movement is at odds with the pro-life movement. The pro-life movement wants abortion to be illegal for doctors, but they want it to be legal for mothers to kill their children. I think the pro-life movement has utterly failed us the last few years, if I can be honest. And they've actively killed legislation that would abolish abortion in several states. But there's an organization called Abolitionists Rising, which is doing a phenomenal job of advocating for the abolition of abortion. They go out in public and reason with people. Then they post many of those interactions on social media. They use logic, reason, facts, and biblical truth. And it is working. The abolitionist movement is gaining steam and growing. And it's insane that the biggest pushback to abolishing abortion in many states is not from leftists, but from pro-lifers. Anyway, this episode isn't on abortion, but that's a great example of a public discourse that is both changing minds and changing hearts. So in closing, I want to invite you to a couple of things. First of all, I want to invite you to pray. Pray about how you can have an influence, both in the public square and in people's lives. Instead of just being angry about pride displays, use it as an opportunity to share gospel hope. If you know someone who's participating, try to understand why. Try to understand the lies that they have believed that have led them to that place. I ask you to pray about how you can influence our culture. And that looks differently for all of us. But I believe God has put us here for such a time as this. It will come at a cost, but it is worth it. As Katie Faust said on my podcast a while back, we need to be gentle with people, but we go to war with ideas. And when we go to war with ideas, it might push some people away, and we take that seriously. We mourn the loss. We count the cost. We try to do as little damage to relationships as we can, but ultimately, we fight for truth, for the good of our culture, for our people, for our kids. We protect and we honor life and children, and we fight for the truth, and we do it in a way that makes disciples of Jesus as part of the process. In fact, that's the main reason why we do it. That's how we make disciples, is by fighting for truth. So keep the gospel at the forefront of our engagement, at the forefront of our response to Pride Month, and at the forefront of why and how we fight for cultural change in these areas that are just full of depravity and darkness. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you go to calvaryministries.com for more ministry resources. Make sure you share with your friends. And we also appreciate your support. You know, I don't talk about finances a lot on this podcast, but this summer we do have a generous donor who is giving a $25,000 matching donation. So any extra donations that come in this summer, we were really hoping that it's over the month of June, will be matched up to $25,000. So that's an incredible opportunity to help engage in our culture, help with the work that we are doing. We really are changing hearts and minds and helping people embrace God's standard for sexuality. So I appreciate your generosity in being a part of that and helping us do that. All right. Thank you so much.